Good morning. Today's Daf Mabatsia is Yud Dalav and Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel and Beis. We are at the top line. I'm a Rebbe Lazar. Let's do a quick sikum. Let's do a quick summary from yesterday. It's a complicated Gemara today, yesterday, today. So let's try to get everything as straight as possible. You find a star. Okay. Do you return it to its owner? The owner is the Malvin. Do you return to the owner? Yes or no? Okay. That's the question. It's so simple. And then after that, it completely falls apart. But let's not let it fall apart. Let's try to hold it together. Let's try to keep it together. So in the Mishnah itself, so we have a machlokus between the Tanaim, between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim says no. No and no. No. Well, now when I say no and no, why am I saying no twice? Because it doesn't matter whether the shtar has a chayis nechasim or it doesn't have a chayis nechasim. Mm-hmm. In other words, according to the Chachamim, you cannot return the shtar to the Malva. Why not? You can't. Okay, now we'll give a reason. We'll give a reason momentarily. Now, according to Rameir makes a distinction whether or not the shtar has a chayis nechasim or if it does not have a chayis nechasim. If the shtar has a chayis nechasim, you can't return it back to the malva. And if it doesn't have a chayis nechasim, then you can return it to the malva. How are we doing so far? Okay, already now it's getting a little bit more complicated, but just wait. Then on that's the Mishnah that started us off yesterday. That launched us into the discussion. That Mishnah was on Yud Beis Amud Beis. Then after that, so there's another variable that we have to take into consideration, and the Amoraim discussed this second variable. And that is, wait one second. I have a shtar, right? Obviously, it represents a loan, right? The holder of the shtar is the bearer of the bond is in fact the Malva, obviously. So in other words, we would presume to say that the Malva is in fact the owner of the shtar. That's the easiest forecasting that we could do. Okay, great. And we should give it back to the Malva. Right, but as we just pointed out, according to the Chachamim, never, and according to Rav Meir, almost never. Okay, why aren't we giving it back to the Malva? Because obviously, we want to know. Wait one second. It represents a loan. Was a loan paid or not paid? Maybe the Malva paid it. Maybe the Malva took back the shtar. Oh, okay, good. Why don't we go ask the Malva? Great. We go and ask the Malva. Hey, did you pay back this loan? What does the Malva say? So in the Mishnah, we don't know what the Malva said because the Mishnah doesn't tell us. So the Amoraim now are explaining our Mishnah in the context of, well, what did the Lova say? So let's go over now three opinions that we saw yesterday. Ready? Number one, we saw Rav Asi. Rav Asi yesterday said that the Lova was Moda Bechovo. The Lova said, yeah, what's it called? Absolutely, yes. Yes, I borrowed the money. Yes, we wrote up a note. Yes, that note belonged to the Malva. Great. Now you have to be wondering to yourself, so then why not return it to the Malva? So according to Rav Asi, we're worried about a fictitious lien, meaning a fictitious lien, it's my terminology, you don't have to love it. The fictitious lien is basically that we don't know if the date in the document actually reflects the origination of the loan. And there could be 6 months. I say 6 months because that's what we did yesterday. So there could be a six-month lag between when the note was actually written up and when the loan actually originated. In other words, the money wasn't actually transferred between the lender and the borrower until 6 months later. And now what's going to happen is that we're 2 years past, no one's going to remember that. And now what the lender's going to do is he's going to exercise a lien in that six-month period. And he really didn't have a lien during that six-month period. So that's our concern, and that's why, according to Rav Asi, you may not return the note to the lender. Now if the note doesn't have a chayis nechasim, according to Rav Meir, so then no problem. Because once the note doesn't have a chayis nechasim, so then there is no lien. And if there is no lien, so then nothing to worry about. In other words, there's no lien to exercise. If there's no lien, great. And according to the Chachamim, as we will point out just a few minutes from now, according to the Chachamim, whether or not a chayis nechasim is written in the document or not written into the document, we will always assume that every loan document has a lien attached to it.
Rav Asi doesn't.
But just wait, please wait, please wait. Just give me there's so much we got to unpackage. Let me just lay everything out. Okay, I know you want to spend time with each one. I appreciate that. But let me just lay everything out. Okay, so that is now the Mishnah as presented by Rav Asi. Two. Now let's go to Abaye. So according to Abaye, Abaye has the following chiddush. We learned it yesterday. And that is that when witnesses sign on the loan document, lien has been activated, period. Even if the money hasn't been transferred yet, don't care, according to Abaye. Lien has been activated. And so that means to say that even if the loan itself doesn't actually begin until a month, 6 months later, in other words, the lien will go back to the dating of the shtar, and so therefore there is no fictitious lien, according to Abaye. Okay, great. So then what's the problem? The problem is organized crime. We're worried about organized crime. And that is that according to Abaye, what's going to happen is that really the loan is good, the loan document is good, the lien is in place, everything's good. And the borrower even admits that the loan took place. So then what's the problem? The problem is that maybe the loan came to a conclusion. Maybe he really paid. Let's do it like this. Maybe the borrower didn't pay. And now what happened is that the lender exercised a lien on property. Oh, but the borrower didn't even have the property. In other words, the borrower sold the property. Fine. So what the lender did is he collected the property from the buyers of that property. And now after that point in time, so maybe what the borrower and the lender are going to do is they're going to collude and they're going to look at each other and say, you know what? I really want to get that property back. Okay, so can we do the following? Can I give you back that piece of paper? Can I give you back the note? And can we now say that really, you owe me, in other words, I really did pay you back the loan, but can we just say I didn't pay you back the loan so I can get back that property? Okay, can we do that? And afterwards, we'll figure it out how to split it. In other words, what the Gemara described as kinunya. So in other words, maybe they were scheming. And so, and because of this concern, that maybe all this was a scheme. In other words, the lender and borrower will quote unquote drop the note in the street. Someone's going to find it, pick it up, and give it back to the malva. And here we go again, round two of a loan that really was already paid up, but we're recreating the loan just so we can get the property back from the lekuchos. Okay, that is Abaye's position. That was number two. And then finally, yesterday, what we did Shmuel's position, and Shmuel said no. Now, Shmuel, generally speaking, is not worried about kinunya. And Shmuel says that our Mishnah is talking about what scenario. So according to Shmuel, the scenario of the Mishnah is that we picked up a note in the street. Okay, good. Malva Lova, great. We enter the Lova. Do you owe the money? Lova's like, I don't owe the money. Like, in other words, I don't know what's happening over here. That's a total forgery. I never borrowed the money. In other words, and the Malva's not holding it, and he's just denial. So Lova's in full denial. Great. So now Shmuel will tell you, under those circumstances, so now what are we going to do? In other words, so he's in denial. So what we're going to do is that we are going to not give it back to the Malva because the Lova is denying that he borrowed the money. And now, according to Rabbi Meir, in Shmuel's presentation, so why is there going to be a difference whether or not there's Achrayas Nechasim or there's no Achrayas Nechasim? Because if you have a loan doc with no Achrayas Nechasim, it is a worthless piece of paper. That's how we concluded yesterday. In other words, Shmuel, according to Rabbi Meir, it is a worthless piece of paper, and therefore, what's the big... In other words, even if I gave it back to the Malva, what can he do with it? Nothing. Nothing. So what he could do is, my joke yesterday was he could make a paper airplane out of it. The Gemara's expression is that he could use it to cork his bottles, to stop his bottles. So that's the way the Shmuel presents the Mishnah. So we just outlined from yesterday's daf, the conclusion of yesterday's daf, there are three ways to look at our Mishnah, Rav Asi, Abaye, and Shmuel. According to both Rav Asi and Abaye, so our Mishnah is talking about where the lova was mode, that the loan actually materialized, the loan is a correct loan. It's just a question of, now what is our concern? Why am I not giving back the loan document back to the lender? Rav Asi has his concern, Abaye has his concern. And then, according to Shmuel, the case of the Mishnah is that the borrower is denying having borrowed the money. That's why I'm not returning it to the lender. And then a question is how to understand Rav Meir. We just explained Rav Meir according to Shmuel. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yesterday you told me that the borrower does not give the lender the document until he gets the money. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay,
so we had that discussion in Baba Basra submission. Baba Basra came up in yesterday's daf. In other words, can we draft the document in the absence of the lender? And the Gemara in Baba Basra says yes, absolutely.
Right, so then when the lender actually gives him the money, he gives him the document.
Right.
So what's Rav Asi's concern? How is he going to fraudulently put a claim against the loan if he doesn't have the document?
So in other words, so what the loan was drafted in the spring.
Right.
And now, in other words, but the document and the money only changed hands 6 months later.
Right.
Right. When did the lien begin?
The lien began when the loan was drawn up, technically.
That's Abaye.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but now you see what you just did? In other words, we're Ravasi, now you just moved to Abaye.
Ravasi doesn't...
According to Ravasi, no. The lien does not begin until 6 months later, until the transfer, until the exchange.
So what is he concerned about if the bar, lender doesn't have...
In other words, what the lender's going to do now is he's going to hold up that note in court and say, my lien began in the spring.
So how does... I still don't understand what he can do with that.
Multiple creditors are
in
Multiple creditors.
In other words, what do you mean? It's buyer protection. We're protecting the buyers right now.
Okay,
good. Beautiful. Beautiful. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay. So now we begin. We begin with today's daf, really. It's a continuation of yesterday's daf. Please follow. Okay, the first part of today's daf, in other words, hopefully I myself, just summarizing it, it becomes crystallized and clear for me. Our Mishnah, how to explain our Mishnah, how to present our Mishnah. And so far, a Mishnah, Machlokes Chachamim Rameir, and then three Amoraim on top of it, that's already a lot. Meaning, without even reading a word, we're 11 minutes into today's daf, and just that's already a lot to process. Okay? Two more opinions amongst the Amoraim in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. Okay, this is going to be the first part of today's daf. A Braisa that's going to clearly support one of these two, and that's it. In other words, and then we move on. I mean, when I say we move on, right? More talk about mortgages and exercising liens, but okay, we'll get there. Amar Rebbe Elazar Machlokes. So now we have Rebbe Elazar. Okay, new Amora, reset. Now I say reset, by the way, in just a moment, you'll see that Rebbe Elazar basically is following the opinion of Shmuel. But in other words, what we just did is that we left Bavel. Now we're in Eretz Yisrael, meaning we have up until now gone over Ravasi, Abaye, and Shmuel. These are all Amoraim of Bavel. Now we take the same discussion and we go to Eretz Yisrael. So here we are in Eretz Yisrael. I'm a Rebbe Elazar. Machlokes, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, so b'shein chayv moda. No, in other words, when the loan is not moda. In other words, he just simply denies. The loan never happened. Rameir savashar shein bar chayz nechasem enu gove lo mimishabde v'lo mimnecharei. And Rameir will tell you, good, now what is that piece of paper? It's exactly that. A piece of paper. It is worthless. It is an uncollectible instrument. And therefore, sure, give it back to the Malva. There's nothing you could do with it. And Rabban and Savre, we'll skip the parentheses, Migbagabe. Ava keshechai of Moda, Devrakol Yachzir, lo cheshin lepiron lekenunya. Now, but if, in fact, the love is Moda, according to Rabbi Elazar, the Amora. So if the love is Moda, that the loan occurred, so then fine. So then just hand it back to the Malva. According to Rebbe Elazar, I'm not worried that the loan was already paid. I am not worried that there's any kind of conspiracy over here. There's no collusion. Good. That is Rebbe Elazar and his understanding of our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan Amar Machlokes Kishchai Moda. Now, Rav Yochanan will take the position that is closer to the Ravasi Abaye approach, which is no. We're going to be talking about where the borrower agreed that the loan occurred. Kishchai Moda. Rameir Savar Sharshim Bar Chayes Nechasim Emeshabdu Hudalogabe Avab Nechare Migbagabe. So now Rameir will tell you that look, even if the note itself does not have a Chayes Nechasim, even if it doesn't say that it has a lien, but still what I could do is the lender will be able to collect, not from properties, but from assets that the borrower is currently holding. So the And what the Chachamim will tell you is that no, even if the note itself was drafted without Sheba Nechasim, it has Sheba Nechasim. And therefore, it is a collectible instrument. And not only that, you can go after the Lekuchos. And what are we interested in doing? Protecting the Lekuchos. And therefore, don't give it back to the Malva. However, if the Love is asked the question, did this loan occur? And he says, nope, loan didn't occur. Everyone will be in agreement. Both Rameir and the Chachamim will agree that that you do not give the note back to the Malva. We are concerned that either the loan never occurred, or alternatively, the loan was already paid off. Good. So we are now in Eretz Yisrael, and a basic machlok is between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, according to the Chachamim, don't return the note, is the love saying? Is it talking about a case where the love is saying, "I didn't pay it"? Sorry, let me go in the order that we just presented. is the borrower, is the borrower's position where the is that I did pay it? That's Rav Elazar's viewpoint. Or is the borrower's position I didn't pay it? That is Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan Tiyufta de Rav Elazar Bechada V'Tiyufta de Shmuel Batarte. Okay, so we're going to now quote a brisa. And in this brisa, it's going to be extraordinarily clear. Rav Yochanan is presenting what seems to be the correct presentation of the machlokas. And it will be challenging. It'll be challenging on Shmuel's position, which we reviewed in the beginning of today's year. And it's going to be challenging on Rav Elazar's position, which we just presented at the beginning of today's year. And as I've already pointed out, Rav Elazar and Shmuel are very similar to one another, but you'll see. So here we begin with the brisa. So already the brisa starts off strong. When I say strong, I mean clear. The brisa is telling us exactly what the lova is saying. Meaning the brisa is saying that I found a sharchov, and in the sharchov is rena chayes nechasim, and they both say that yes, the loan is real. It's a real loan. So what you're not going to do is that you're not going to return it. Lo lazeh. Now, ein by mechreis nechasim. Now, if let's say the loan is not a secured loan, there is no achreis nechasim on the loan. So, bizman shalove modi yachzel lamalva. So, if the lover agrees, so then give it back to the malva. And ein alove modi lo yachzel lo lazev lo lazev divrei Rabbi Meir. But if there is no agreement, so then don't return it. Shayir Rabbi Meir omer shtari sheish by mechreis nechasim govim nechasim meshubadim and v'shein by mechreis nechasim govim nechasim b'nei chorin. Because Rabbi Meir will tell you that there's a difference whether or not the document has a chrayas or doesn't have a chrayas. The chachamim omer mechazev echazev govim nechasim meshubadim. And according to the chachamim, every loan document, what you can do is that you can collect. It has a lien, and you can go after properties. You can go after sold properties. And that means to say that according to the Chachamim, every loan document is locked and loaded, and it allows you to go ahead and to collect either from properties that are currently owned by the lover or even properties that were sold by the lover. And because every loan document is locked and loaded, so therefore don't return it back to the malva because you're giving the malva a loaded gun. Right, you like my analogy? You don't like my analogy, but you're giving him a really, really serious weapon. You're giving him an instrument, and don't do that. In other words, because the lova, the malva is not holding the note, and the lova is denying that it ever occurred. Good. So now what we have over here is this brisa. Now the beauty of this brisa is that we don't have to guess. There's no longer guessing. What did the lova say? This brisa tells us exactly what the lova said. Now. Tiyufta de Rabbi Elazar bechada de Amar Rabbi Meir Shtar Shein Bar Chayes Nechasim Ena Gover Min Nechasim Meshubadim V'lo Ben Nechasim B'nei Chorin V'ka Amar Bein L'Rab Meir Bein L'Rab Ben L'Chayshin L'Kanunya. So in the in Rabbi Elazar's viewpoint, we're not worried about a conspiracy. V'braisa Ketani Shtar Shein Bar Chayes Nechasim Ena Meshabdi Hu De Lo Gabe HaBnei Chorin Mikba Gabe U'Medikani Shabein Rab Meir Bein L'Rab Ben L'Chayshin L'Kanunya And meanwhile, in this brisa that we just learned together, clearly there is a concern of kanunya. We are worried about collusion. We are worried about conspiracy. Because what did the brisa tell us? That even though they both agree to it, don't return it. Why? Because we're worried about collusion. Okay. So in that regard already, Rabbi Elazar's position is knocked out from the brisa. Because Rabbi Elazar is not worried about kanunya, and clearly the brisa says that is a concern. The ha hani tartehu. Now the Gemara says, now really, we said it's one question on Rabbi Elazar. Is it really two questions on Rabbi Elazar? So the Gemara says, no. Chadehu dechatamu mishum dekamer Rabbi Elazar machlokes b'shein chayv mode hu matar tzachi. So the Gemara says, no, really comes out to, it's one essential point. And that is that that we're worried about kanunya. And it manifests itself in multiple ways, but it's one point. Okay. So in that regard now, so this Bryce says, we just learned it together, clearly is not on board with Rabbi Elazar. Next. Do you have to dishmol batarte? Now we're going to use the same Bryce that we just learned together, and it's going to be a question on Shmuel. Why? Because chada ka Rabbi Elazar. So first of all, same question that we asked on Rabbi Elazar, copy-paste, meaning that Shmuel told us that we're not worried about kanunya. We just learned the brisa together, and the brisa couldn't be any clearer. Even though both lender and borrower said, yes, this loan is correct, it's accurate. It really represents a loan. So don't give it back to the malveh. Why? We're worried about collusion. We're worried about conspiracy. So fine. So in that regard, we already pointed this question out against Rebbe Lazar. Gemara says, fine, copy paste, same thing on Shmuel. And v'chada, the Amr Shmuel Masa Sharak Na B'shok Yachzul Abalim Lo Chayshin LePiron. And meanwhile, Shmuel will tell us. We're going to see this position of Shmuel a couple days from now. That if in fact you find a shtar hakna'a, so in other words, it is a loan document. And remember, we did this yesterday. Shtar hakna'a means is that the borrower is mortgaging his properties effective immediately, even though he hasn't actually received the loan money yet. In other words, you could do that, right? The borrower has every right to do that. In other words, he's subjecting himself to an obligation, even though the money hasn't gone to him yet. You could do that. It's called the shtar hakna. We did this yesterday. We're doing it right now again. So Shmuel says, "Matzah shtar hakna b'shuk yachzul labalim." So Shmuel says that now what you could do is you can give it back to the owner. Lo chayshin lepiron. And what we're not worried about is that maybe the loan was already paid up. We're not worried. So tiyufta the diktani hacha. And meanwhile, in the Braisa, what did we just learn together? Is that you find a loan document with a Chayes Nechasim, don't give it, and even if the Lova says that the loan occurred, don't give it back to the Malva. We're worried that maybe the loan was already paid up. Okay, so, when all said and done, I know that was a lot, but when all said and done, we just learned a Braisa together, and the Braisa says that when you are the discoverer of a loan document, there are two concerns that you must be entertaining. Number one, kenunya. We're worried about maybe the loan is good and it's correct and it's accurate and so forth and so on. And maybe the loan was already paid up. And what the borrower lender did is basically they got together, right, in a dark room and with lots of smoking and they basically said, I want to get my property back. Can you help me get my property back? Kenunya. So in other words, that's one concern, and the Braisa tells us that it is a real concern, and despite the fact that over the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf, we learned that both according to Shmuel and according to Rav Elazar, we're not worried about Kenunya, the Braisa says that's a real concern. And because of that concern, you cannot hand the loan document back to the lender. And then the second thing that we just learned together also is that we also have to worry about piraon, meaning that in the event that the borrower says, this note is not representative of a loan. Alternatively, I paid it up. That's a real concern as well. And you have to be concerned that maybe the loan was in fact paid up. Okay. So, and as a result of those, both of those concerns, what you're not going to do is you're not going to return it back to the lender, period. Now, again, Rav Meir, right, it gets complicated. The whole thing's complicated. But it gets complicated because according to Rav Meir, there is a distinction to be made between a loan with a chrayus and a loan without a chrayus. But just, if I can put Rav Meir aside for just a moment. Just looking at the sheet of the Chachamim, what becomes clear is that Kenunya and Piraon are both real concerns, and they're such big concerns that the finder is not going to give the loan document back to the Malveh. Even if everyone agrees that the loan occurred, you're still not going to do that. Good. And that's Keneged Shmuel, it's Keneged Rebbe Lazar. Okay. I have to admit, we just, that was a lot of information. There were a lot of variables involved. And there are a lot of opinions. We just went through, please follow, that was amazing. We just went through two Tanaim in the Mishnah, and we went through five different Amoraim on this topic. So just to begin to process, like, it's just a lot. I can imagine it's overwhelming.
But most agreed to give the document back to the borrower, not to the lender.
No. Lola Zeva, Lola Zeva. No, you're not going to give it to either one of them. Again, it's a lot. I know it's a lot. I recognize I'm going too fast. I know that. It's not my fault. It's just it's the nature of the daf. But I'm Rosh Mo, my time of the Rabbanan. Okay. I made this point yesterday. Okay, good. Now everyone can, right, sit back. Not sit back. In other words, still sit at the edge of your seat. But, okay, we're going to move a little bit. And now, just in terms of, we're not moving in topics, but now we're new chapter. According to the Chachamim, you can't return the note back, and it doesn't matter. It's irrespective of whether or not there's a Chayes Nechasim on the document or there isn't. Okay. Now, a Chayes Nechasim, okay, what does that mean? It means that when you are lending money and you're documenting that you're lending money, the reason why you're documenting it is so that you can go ahead and have a lien on properties. In the event of default, you can go ahead and exercise your lien, right? So according to the Chachamim, even if that wasn't written in the note, that's correct. So the Gemara now is just simply going to clarify this point. Amar Shmuel, my time at the Rabbanan, Savri Achrayas Tau Soferhu. So Achrayas Tau Soferhu. According to Shmuel, when the Sofer is leaving out Achrayas Nechasim in the loan document, what that was is it was an unintentional omission. Tau Sofer. An unintentional omission. Oversight on the part of the Sofer. Meaning, but by virtue of the fact that we're writing up the loan in a document, that by itself creates a lien, whether the text is in the document or it's not in the document. Good. Amalei Rav Bar Yisrael Rav Yidi Bar Avinu Mi Amar Shmuel Hachi V'Amar Shmuel Shevach Shefer V'Shibat Tzarech Li Malech. So Lema Manda Amar Ha Lo Amar Ha. I'm sorry, before I get to the Lema. So the Gemara says, that's so funny, by the way. Shmuel made another comment, and that is the seller of property. Now, nowadays, now I got a couple of real estate people here in the room, so, okay, I'm going to tread carefully as they know a lot more than me. But nowadays, what do you do is that when you go ahead and you buy property, so what do we do with the title insurance? We outsource it to another company. Nice. Good, good. But back in the good old days, so who provided title insurance? Seller. Seller provided title insurance. And so when I say provided title insurance, in other words, in the document itself, he's going to write that in the event that the land is taken away from you, you know, in other words, I got a lot of people who are after me. So in the event that the land is taken away from you, I will reimburse you. Now, my comment, I know I've said this in the past, and so my comment is, by the way, good luck.
It's only worth
the person who's writing it. Yeah. So, okay, good luck. But in other words, but back in the good old days, the title insurance was provided by the seller. And so Shmuel said, what we're going to be doing is the following. At the sale, at the closing, you ask the seller, how much title insurance are you providing over here? And you ask him, now I'm not going to go, the Gemara goes through Shevach, Shefer, Shibud. In other words, various levels of title insurance. Please forgive me, I'm not going to go through the details right now. Rashi over here, please see Rashi inside. Right, but in the interest of time, in the interest of finishing today's daf, let's just plow along. So in other words, then you ask him, how much title insurance are you providing? And the reason why you're asking him is because you're writing this in the document. And whatever is not written in the document is not provided. Title insurance is only going to be provided if it's written in the document. So the Gemara is saying, now wait one second. Shmuel just told me that when you're lending money, so the lien is automatically there, even if I don't see it in the loan doc. And meanwhile, when coming to the sale of property, everything has to be written. Whatever is not written is not provided. Hopefully you already, and the way I presented it, hopefully you could just see the difference already. The Gemara spells it out. Lema manda amar ha lo amar ha lo kasha kam b'shtar hava, delo yavin ish huzi b'chdi, kam b'mekoch omemka, davin ish huzavin ara liyumei. Beautiful. And the Gemara says the difference is obvious, and that is lending versus selling. Okay, in other words, when I lend money, I want protection. Everyone wants protection when they're lending money, right? What are you going to do? You're going to lend money and you're just going to leave it out there where there's no recourse of you getting your money back? That's crazy. Who would do that? You're lending money because you're a good person and you want to help somebody out. But you also want to be protected. So according to the Chachamim, so the fact that there was no achrayis written into the loan document, it's an unintentional omission. It's there. You wouldn't have lent without the lien. Fine. On the other hand, when it comes to the sale of property, you know, people out there, people will buy property at risk. Who knows? They're going to get a discount. The properties back in the good old days also produced produce. In other words, there was a utility to property. You could produce produce. You could rent out the property. Whatever the case is. And people will buy and meanwhile be in a position of exposure. Yeah. The Gemara's expression is amazing. People will buy land for just a day. In other words, speculative. Speculative purchasing. People do it. So if you are in fact providing title insurance, you must write it into the document, because if you don't write into the document, it can easily be assumed that the person is just simply buying it with the speculation and with the risk. Ki ahida vo bar zivan zavin ilisa me'achte. Gemara follows it up with a great story. I say great, by the way. You know, meaning it's just a lot of drama. So the so avu bar I. So what did he do? So he purchased the second floor from his sister. Okay, so his sister had a two floor. And so now what the brother did is the brother purchased floor number two from his sister. Okay. And now what happened was is that his sister had a couple of creditors. So creditors came after her. She had nothing. I mean, I know it's funny I say that, by the way. She had the first floor. Okay, but, okay. Whatever the details were, in other words, they couldn't collect from her. So fine. So what did they do? So they came after her brother who bought the second floor. And they took it away from the brother. Okay, now great. So now and rightfully so, they had a lien on that property, and they exercised that lien. They took the second floor away from the brother. Great. Now what the brother wants to do is he wants to go to his sister. He wants to take his sister to court. Sure. In other words, what did you do? You sold me the property, and now the property was taken away from me, and you're going to insure me that property. You're going to reimburse me for that for the sale. You're going to give me back my money. So also come at Demar Shmuel Amarle Kasvelach Rayos. So now they go to Shmuel, and Shmuel asked her, "Hey, did you write that title insurance up in the document?" So Amarle Lo. So he says, "No, we didn't write it up." So Amarle Im Kain Zil Shlame. So Shmuel says, "Have a lovely day."
My good luck.
Have a lovely day. Okay. So in other words, okay, it's good. So we got to see this play out now. That when you're selling property, so if you want to provide insurance, that's great. You must write it out in the document. It is not an unintentional omission. It was an intentional omission if you're not writing out the title insurance in the document. And now, just to follow up, in other words, they ask Shmuel, wait, aren't you the same person who said by the loan documents? So Achrayus is in the loan document, even if you don't see it written in the loan document. And his response was, yeah, that's by lending. I know, I did say that by lending, but we're not talking about lending. We're talking about a sale of property. Sale of property, people will speculate. People will buy property, even if they're exposure. Yeah. So, and it's not an unintentional omission. It was, in fact, an intentional omission. Okay. Good. Amar Abaye. Next. We're on Yud Alamed Aleph. Reuven shemachasod l'shemam b'achrayus of Abachov the Reuven v'katar eflei. So we've heard this before. So we did this back in. I'm cheating, by the way. We did this back in Baba Kama. We did this back in Ksuvus. Okay. So now in our round of Shas, this is now again my research over here is just looking at the Masoros Shas. This is the third time now in Shas that we're hearing this, and that's the following. Okay. So Reuven sold property to Shimon. Reuven sold it with insurance, with title insurance. And now the Baal Chov of Reuven comes and he takes away the property. Great. So now, what do we have right now? So the we have Shimon in court trying to keep the property. Now, who are the litigants over here? So we have Shimon and we have the Baal Chov. We have the creditor. So can Reuven also go on Team Shimon? And can Reuven sit in court, but not just sit in the courtroom, sit alongside Shimon and help litigate the case on behalf of Shimon? Now, generally speaking, in the courtroom, so anyone who wants to can observe, but who can make arguments? Now, I know we live in a world of attorneys and lawyers, and we have professionals making arguments, but back in the good old days, okay, and I'm not sure even how far back we have to go, right? I often wonder, when did the attorney thing become like a, you know, part and parcel, part of the judicial system. But back in the good old days, so you had only the litigants going ahead and making arguments on their case. You cannot have observers from the back row just simply advancing arguments back and forth. Okay, let's leave it like that. So in other words, can we call Reuven over here a co-litigant? Yes or no? And the Gemara's answer is yes. Why? So the Adina who does the Reuven and Mishai Adina Bahadei. So Velo Masi Amarle La Bal Dvarim Didiat. The Amarle the Mafakimine Alai Didi Hadar. Reuven can be a co-litigant. Why can Reuven be a co-litigant? Because Reuven's argument right now to be a co-litigant is very simple. He'll say to the creditor, look, I defaulted on the loan. Great. And you're going after Shimon. Great. Let me tell you what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next is that you're going to take the property away from Shimon. And because when I sold Shimon the property, I sold it to him with title insurance, he's going to come after me. So I am very much a vested interest in this case over here. I need the case to go in Shimon's favor. So Reuven over here can call himself a co-litigant, even though it's only going to be the consequence of this case that's going to affect him, but that's enough for him to be considered a co-litigant. Okay, Tosos over here, Dina Hudase Reuven. Tosos goes over multiple nafkaminas in terms of why it's important to call him a co-litigant. I already gave the argument that, in other words, that Reuven can stand alongside Shimon and provide arguments on behalf of the case. Tosos goes over other nafkaminas as well. Good. And Igadamri Afilu Shalabach Reis Namei Damrlei Lo Nichali Dalavi Shimon Taru Masalai. And the Gemara goes, you know what? In the second version, I'll even go one step further. Let's say Reuven sold the property to Shimon without title insurance. Still, Reuven can stand alongside Shimon and help him litigate the case. Why? Because here now, Reuven can advance the following argument. If my creditors come and take the property away from Shimon, even though Shimon purchased it on speculation, and I have no obligation to reimburse Shimon, but Shimon's going to be so unhappy with me. And he'll have tarumas, he'll have complaints against me, and I have to worry about my reputation. Meaning, I don't want it that people now hear that I sold the property, and meanwhile, whoop, property was just taken away. I don't want people to say that. And if I have a case, I don't know what his case is going to be, but if I have a case to make, I'm going to go to court and I'm going to make that case because I want to salvage my reputation. That's enough of a reason for him to be considered a co-litigant.
Isn't he the original litigant because the creditor is coming after him?
Yes.
The original litigant.
Yes, so correct.
He's not a co-litigant. He's the original litigant.
He's the original. But in other words, but now the...
Let's call it defendant because...
Correct.
Yeah, he's the original defendant because the creditor is coming to him.
Right, correct.
And he owes them money. Correct. He's only going to Shimon because he sold the property.
And he defaulted on the loan.
So he's really involved the whole time anyway.
Right. Okay, good. I hear you. I totally hear you. But the way the Gemara views it is that once he defaulted on the loan, it's almost like he's like, okay, now step aside. And now the creditor is going to go after the buyer. And now, well, ultimately, you're right. Meaning the way the Gemara just backs into this position.
Yeah,
the Gemara, right. But
the property's not enough to cover the day. Then he goes after
Correct. Fair. All fair. Amar Abai Reuven Shemach HaSadol Shemach HaLabach HaSadol Alav HaSikin Ad Shalo Hichzik Ba'asel. One more halacha from Abayi. We're on the bottom of Yudal Amud Aleph, ready to make the turn. And that is, Reuven sells property over to Shimon, and he sells the Shalom Ba'achrayis, no title insurance. You want to buy it with risk? Great. I'll sell to you at risk. And Yatsu Allah Asikin. Now, as we're ready to close the deal, I'll make this dramatic. We're at the closing, and all of a sudden, his phone explodes. Did you hear about this property? And all of a sudden, the rumor mill is churning. In other words, you're ready to buy that property. Oh, did you? I think he's got to lean on it. I think that guy's got to lean on it. And all of a sudden, like he realizes, like, oh, look, I was ready for a little bit of risk, but this is ridiculous. So yatsu aleha asikin. Okay. So achlo hichzik ba yachol lachzer ba mishichzik ba ino yachol lachzer ba damer lechayte dekitri sarve vekabalt. As we now make the turn to Yudalim and Beis. And that is that I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi, simple like Rashi. Right? There's a more complicated way to present the Gemara, but let's present it simple. If we didn't close the deal yet, now remember in halacha, closing the deal means making a kinyan, doing a proprietary act to the property. Right? I understand you can do kesef, you could also do shtar, but if the deal is not closed yet, you have every right to back out. Once the deal is closed, so look, you assumed the risk. You write, in other words, it was sold to you shelo ba'achrayus. At that point in time, once you close the deal, and now all of a sudden the rumors are flooded, your phone blew up. Like, in other words, are you crazy? You're buying that property? Do you know what comes with that property? You know how many people are making claims on that property? Once you close the deal, that's it. You bought it with the risk. You all of a sudden discover and learn that there's a lot more risk than what you entertained. It's too late. So, Now, and at what point is considered a chazaka? When you go ahead and you make an edge around the border. Okay, it's a proprietary action, exhibiting that you in fact own the property. And the Gemara says, you know what? In the Sikha D'Amri, we'll go one step further. Even when you buy the property, you bought it with title insurance. The seller goes ahead and not only provides you, sells you the property, but sells you insurance as well, where he's going to be covering in the event of loss. Okay. By the way, just I know no one here is confused, but just in case you get confused, I'm not talking about insurance that covers damage. In other words, we're talking about the title insurance, meaning in the event that another creditor comes and takes that property. So even if the property was sold with title insurance, so that means to say that what you assumed is that this was a safe sale and you're buying property and you have coverage, even still, if after the deal is done and your phone blows up and all of a sudden everyone's sharing with you, don't buy this property, he's got a claim, even at that point in time, the sale cannot be reneged on. What happens now when the property is taken away from you? So what the seller can say to you is, when it happens, then I'll reimburse you. Meaning up until that point in time, it's your property. In other words, you didn't know all the risk that was involved. And yes, I did sell you title insurance. That's true. When the property is actually taken away from you, so now you'll come to me, and only then you'll come to me. Okay.
Was there a court system that recorded all these liens and documents, or was it just based on buyer and seller holding on to them and claiming after?
Good question. I don't know.
I asked that question.
I hear. I don't know.
It would just clear. It would make things a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I'm sorry?
No, but Alan's just simply saying that systematically would work out better if everything was just recorded. There'd be one place where all this is recorded.
Their own little office, and I give you a loan, I sell you a property, it's recorded.
Okay. All right, let's do a little bit more today. We have a few minutes, and let's get back up to speed. Itmar. You sell a field to your friend, and it turns out that it didn't belong to the mocher. Okay, good. So in other words, what the mocher did, he's a charlatan. He's a cheat. So he sold the property that didn't belong to him. In other words, he stole it. So good. So now Rav Amar Yesh Lo Mos V'Yesh Lo Shevach U'Shmuel Amar Mos Yesh Lo Shevach Ein Lo. Okay. So now obviously. In other words, if he's selling a property that's not yours, so that you're obviously going to get reimbursed. Okay, and again, by the way, for a second time today, I'm going to wish the buyer a lot of good luck. Okay, in other words, you're going to try to get your money back from a thief. But you're entitled. In other words, you're entitled. You're legally, rightfully entitled to get your money back. That's obvious. Not open for a discussion. However, I'll tell you what is open for a discussion, and that is shevach. So in other words, let's say. That work was put into the land, and now the land has improved in value. Now, keep in mind, by the way, from an accounting standpoint, in other words, the actual improvements itself, meaning the fertilizer and the material used to improve, so that's hotzos. Okay. But then, after that, there's an actual appreciation of the land, and that's what's called shevach. Okay, so, now when you get back the land, so what can you get back? Can you get back the principal purchase price of the land? Yes, nothing to discuss. Can you also go ahead and take back shevach as well? The improved value of the land. Machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says yes, Shmuel says no. Okay. Now, Rav saying yes, sure. In other words, it's your land. In other words, it's your property. It's improved in value. Good. Okay. we can even call it, in other words, reimbursement for the aggravation that you went through, but you don't have to be that fancy. It's your property. He invested into it and improved in value. Okay, but it's your land. The Shmuel's position is the interesting position. No, Well, you'll only get reimbursed the purchase price of the property. You will not be able to get reimbursed for the improvement, the improved value. Now, so let's say that this was explicitly stated at the sale, meaning that what the seller said to the buyer is that, look, I'm going to sell you my title insurance, in which I'm going to provide for you, if necessary, reimbursement on the property, and I'll reimburse you on the shevach as well, if in fact there's shevach. So we'll do that. So mahu. So time to Shmuel, mishum delo pirish shivcha v'hacha pirish lei. So in other words, when Shmuel said no on the reimbursement of shevach, is a no just simply because it wasn't specified? That's one possibility. Or a second possibility, and that is that ribis. Yeah, you saw it. You saw it coming. So odama time to Shmuel, the leis lei karka, the mechzei karibis. Maybe it's ribis, because consider what just happened over here. In other words, I just gave him X, and I got back in return X plus Y.
Yeah, now, great. There's no ribis to make up.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So notice carefully the Gemara says mechzei karibis. In other words, it's not, right, correct. It's not the actual ribis where I'm lending him money and I'm getting more money back. That's ribis. Over here, yes, everything's coming in the form of a sale. But when all said and done, just the appearance of how it looks. Here's how much money I gave him, and I got back more. Now, again, right, insiders know it's a sale. But in other words, but outsiders, they see it. They see the exchange in one direction. They see the exchange in the other direction. Mechzei karibis. So I'm lay in love Rafia Bayadeh. Now, when Rav Huna was asked these questions, Rav Huna sometimes says, yeah, I think you're right. No, I don't think you're right. In other words, Rav Huna, Rafia Bayadeh. He didn't know. Okay. Itmar, I'm a Rav Nachman, I'm a Shmuel, Maos Yeshlo Shevach Ein Lo. The Alpha Pisha Pirishlo, it's a Shevach, my time, I came to Karka Ein Lo. Tzchar Maosav, Omei Venotel. Okay. So so Rav Nachman says, in the name of Shmuel, it's Mechzei Karibis. The issue is Mechzei Karibis. It looks like Ribis. And so therefore, when you went ahead and you purchased a property, that property now was taken away from you. So now you are absolutely entitled for reimbursement of the purchase price. But now to also collect Shevach, so that now it gives the appearance of Ribis. And as a result of that, you cannot go ahead and you cannot collect the Shevach. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Eisrei Revel Rav Nachman. Good. Okay, we have made a little bit further back in terms of catching up, but we're good. Okay, where are we today? Just as a quick summary. So number one, we went over, I think, one of the most complicated sugyas here in this first parak of Bava Metzia, and that is you find a lost note. Pick it up. What do you do with it? Great question. Machlokis Tanayim in the Mishnah, whether you return it or whether you don't return it back to its owner, meaning the Malveh. Chachamim say you don't. Rameir says that under certain circumstances you do. Not every circumstance. And then over the course of yesterday and today's daf, okay, I wish I could do this a week from now. I wish I could do this 2 days from now. But at least I could do it today. And at least I'll get it on record today. We had the positions. I'm going to give them to you in the order of presentation. We had the positions of Rav Asi, Abaye, Shmuel, Rav Elazar, Rav Yochanan. Okay, I could do it today. So in other words, we have five different ways of how to analyze our Mishnah. Under what circumstances can you or can you not return the note back? And then underlying these positions, I'm not going to go through all five of them right now. Going through all five positions would take more time than what we have. So, but what's underlying these positions are, what are legitimate concerns? Fictitious liens, conspiracy to go ahead and defraud the buyer. Maybe a prepayment of the loan, or just simply the loan was already paid. So these are the underlying concerns of maybe I shouldn't return the loan document back to the lender. And just in terms of a conclusion, it seems like under most circumstances, you cannot return the loan document back to the lender.
Unless the borrower accepts the loan and they both agree.
But then even then, in other words, then we're worried about conspiracy and, okay, right. Under most circumstances, you cannot. Okay. That is our first discussion, which ended yesterday's daf, goes into today's daf. And then, in today's daf, so what do we cover? So we covered, first of all, that according to Shmuel, leaving out that the loan has a lien in it is an unintentional omission. And that means to say that every loan document is going to have a lien attached to it in which the lender can go ahead now and exercise that lien, take properties in the event of default of a loan. Every loan document can have that. That is Shmuel's position. Now, contrast that with Shmuel's position regarding the sale. When you draft a document for a sale of a property, so is there title insurance attached? Not necessarily. In other words, only if it's written into the document, then and only then is title insurance provided by the seller. Otherwise, title insurance is not provided by the seller. There's not going to be recourse on the part of the buyer. The buyer is just simply going to be exposed.
You're on.
Okay. It's a great way to end. We'll stop here.